Welcome back to the Aftermarket Audio Podcast. I'm your host, Reef, and today we're diving into one of the most overlooked but important parts of your system, the head unit. Whether you call it a stereo, a deck, a receiver, or source unit, the head unit is the command center of your entire setup. If you've ever wondered what a head unit actually is or what it does, if you really need to replace yours, or what the hype is all about, preamp voltage, touchscreens, sizes, built-in features, tuning, all this stuff we're going to be covering in this episode. We'll be breaking it down beginner style for you. No gatekeeping, no jargon, just straight useful information to help you build a better system from the front and out. So grab a drink, start that drive, and let's talk about why your stereo might be holding back your system. So in segment one, we're becoming what is a head unit really? Let's start simple. The head unit is the control center of your car's audio system. It tells your speakers what to play, sends a signal to your amp, and processes all your inputs, whether it's Bluetooth, USB, radio, or a CD if you're old school like that. But here's what's most important for beginners that you don't realize. The quality of your signal coming from your head unit is the foundation of your entire sound system's quality. Think of it like this. A bad head unit feeding a $1,000 amp and $800 speakers is still going to sound like trash. A clean, solid head unit feeding budget gear, it'll sound surprisingly good. Why? This is because it is garbage in, garbage out. Even with the best downstream gear, if the source is distorted, noisy, or weak, you're going to amplify the problem. So what does a head unit actually do? Here's what's going on under the hood of a typical aftermarket or stock stereo. It's going to, one, generate signal. This is going to be from playing music, your Bluetooth, USB, or aux. This sends a signal through your RCA outputs on aftermarket models or speaker wire on stock basic head units. Second thing it does is signal quality. Aftermarket units typically send cleaner, higher voltage outputs through the RCA, think 2 to 5 volts. Higher voltage equals less amp gain needed equals less noise and distortion. Third thing it does is your user interface. This is how you choose the source of music, adjust the volume, your equalizer, your fader, and much more. Touchscreen units add features like a DSP style tuning, built-in crossovers, and bass level controls. First thing it does is audio tuning tools. Like I said, some units offer equalizers, time alignment, high pass and low pass filters. Others are dumb and just push sound out with little control. So let's look into stock versus aftermarket behavior. A lot of people ask, isn't my stock head unit good enough? The answer, it depends. Older head units, think like early 2000s, 90s, 80s, it's going to be low output and muddy equalizer presets, and stock units, especially with the premium trims of vehicles, tend to output a cleaner signal with heavier integration with the vehicle controls. Aftermarket units are going to sound better, they're going to have more features, they're going to be easier for system building, but can require extra parts to integrate cleanly. So we'll talk about this integration more with the stock options in segment four, but just for now, you know that your head unit isn't just a radio. It's the first thing your amp hears, and if it sucks, your whole system's going to suffer. Now let's jump right into segment two. We're going to talk about single DINs versus double DINs. Size matters, but not how you think. Now, we know that a head unit is way more than just a radio, so let's talk form factor and break down what single DIN and double DIN actually means. So what does DIN stand for? Deutsches Institut für Normungen, the German standard body that creates size spec. But all you really need to know is a single DIN is roughly 2 inches tall and 7 inches wide, and a double DIN is roughly 4 inches tall and 7 inches wide. Same width, but double the height. That's about it. But the extra space can change a lot of things. So here's some examples. The single DIN is more of the original format. You'll see lots of older vehicles with this, simpler dashes. They could be cheaper and they're easier to install in basic setups. The cons with these is lots of them have smaller screens or no screens at all, fewer features, and a lot less real estate for touches or DSP controls. Single DIN units are often used in classic cars, work trucks, budget builds where touchscreen isn't needed, and some higher-end single DINs will still offer pull-out or flip screens, but those can be bulky or outdated by today's standards. So the double DIN is the modern standard. It comes with bigger screens. This means you can control more and have multiple features, easier to see and interact with while driving, supports modern features. Examples of these would be Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, touch-based tuning, on-screen crossover and equalizer settings, and rear-view camera input. Cons of this is they can cost a little bit more, they might not fit in every vehicle without a little bit of modification, they require a cleaner install approach, bad wiring will stick out, Double DINs are the go-to for modern vehicles with extra dash space, anyone who wants to integrate a touchscreen, control, maps, integrated tuning, or systems with DSPs or heavy tuning features. So, which one is actually better? There is no actual answer. It depends on your goals with your dash. If you want it, go with that one. Simple touch if you want a simple radio with clean sound, single DIN. If you want a touchscreen with CarPlay and tuning control, double DIN. If you want the factory look for an older style car, single DIN. If you want to future-proof and have flexibility, double DIN. So a tip with this is, even if your car looks like it can only take a single DIN, many can be modified or fitted with a double DIN conversion dash kit. You can check places like Metra or Crunchfield for vehicle-specific options. Remember, size doesn't always determine sound quality. A clean signal and solid tuning do. Now, we're going to jump right into segment 3, features that actually matter, don't fall for the flash. We've all seen it. Some decks have flashy big old touchscreens, RGB lights, built-in equalizers with the dancing bars, but none of that really means anything if your audio performance is trash. So in this segment, let's break down the features that actually make a difference in how your system sounds and performs, not just the fluff. Just what matters, and when it comes down to real audio results. So the first thing we'll be talking about is preamp voltage. This is the secret sauce for a clean sound. Let's start with one of the most misunderstood specs. This is the preamp voltage. Most aftermarket head units send audio to your amplifier through RCA preouts. This is the strength of signal is measured in volts. Typically, these are 2 volts, 4 volts, or 5 volts. Here's why it matters. The higher the voltage means the stronger the signal. Stronger signal means you need a little bit less gain on your amps, and less gain means less noise distortion. So let's think of preamp voltage like water pressure in a hose. Low pressure, you have to crank the faucet up or the amp gain just to get a trickle. Whereas if you already have high pressure, you can get a clean flow out without pushing the system too hard. Here's a rule of thumb. If your amp accepts 2 or 5 volt inputs, match it with a 2 or 5 volt head unit. The difference in clarity, especially at low volumes, is a night and day. Second thing we'll be talking about in this section is built-in crossovers. If your head unit has adjustable high-pass and low-pass filters, you can send mids and highs to your door speakers, cut out the deep bass that would blow your tweeters, and reroute a clean bass to your sub-amp. Even if you don't have a DSP, built-in crossovers to help you dial in a basic setup that sounds good without distortion. So here's what to look for. You're going to be looking for a high-pass filter or an HPF. This is going to cut the low end from your mids and highs. You'll be looking for one that also has a LPF or a low-pass filter that only sends bass to the subwoofer. And or adjustable cutoff points, look for 80 Hz, 100 Hz, and 120 Hz range. Some head units even offer subwoofer level controls, super useful for tuning bass up or down on the fly without touching your amp or your DSP. Third thing in this section is equalizers, when we talk about 3-band versus 13-band. So equalizers let you shape the sound of your system. Here's the breakdown. Basic units offer a 3-band equalizer. These would be for bass, mids, and treble. Versus better units will offer 5 to 13 band. This is an equalizer meant for more fine tuning. Some also offer programmic equalizers, which lets you control the frequency, boost and cut, and bandwidth for precision shaping. So here's a little pro tip. You don't need a fancy equalizer if your amp or DSP already has one, but it's nice bonus if you're tuning a basic setup straight from the head unit. Fourth thing we'll be talking about in this section is Bluetooth quality. Not all streams are equal. Bluetooth is go-to for most people, including me. But there is a difference between them. There's standard Bluetooth, which is your SBC. It's compressed and muddy. And there is advanced Bluetooth, which is your AAC, your APTX, and your LDAC, LDAC. This is going to mean a cleaner, faster response. If your head unit supports high-res Bluetooth streaming and your phone does too, you'll hear a noticeable bump in clarity and bass definition. Just be aware, your phone and your head unit must both support the same codec to take advantage of this. So we're going to hop right in number 5. This is Android Auto and Apple CarPlay. While not sound quality features directly, CarPlay and Android Auto give you safer access to music, library, and streaming apps, let you better use quality streaming platforms like Tidal or Qobuz. It offers built-in maps, voice control. This means less distracted and better driving. Some decks offer wired only, while others support wireless. You must choose what fits your driving style. Number 6 is going to be the number of RCA pre-outs. Most entry-level units have 2 RCA outputs, front and rear. Models will offer 3 RCA outputs, front, rear, and sub. Having 3 lets you fade, balance, and adjust the subwoofer separately. Huge win for tuning. It also gives you full flexibility if you're running multiple amps or plan on running a DSP down the line. A rule of thumb for this is always buy a head unit with 3 RC outputs at 4 volts if you plan on doing a higher or planning on upgrading later. So those are what actually matters in a head unit. Here's what doesn't really matter, and there's lots of hype around. These would be RGB lighting, monitorized face plates, they will break, X-Bass or Mega-Bass presets that just boost the distortion, fake touchscreens with no real tuning control. These just add flash, not function. So a little wrap-up of what gives you a great head unit that doesn't break the bank. It should have a clean, high voltage signal, solid tuning tools like filters or equalizers, expandabilities either for 3 outputs or DSP support, stability for good Bluetooth, and an intuitive interface. So we're going to jump into segment number 4. Let's talk about stock versus aftermarket head units. Should you keep your stock or should you ditch it? So we've talked about what makes a good head unit, why preamp voltage matters, and how to spot features that actually improve your system. Now let's get into the big question most beginners face. Do I really need to replace my factory radio? Sometimes the answer is yes, sometimes the answer is you'll be fine. And sometimes you can have the best of both worlds. So let's check it out. In the case for keeping your stock head unit, most modern factory stereos, especially in the newer vehicles, are far more advanced than you might think. Some have built-in DSPs, high-quality Bluetooth, Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, steering wheel control integrations, and seamless vehicle alerts and system information. So here's the thing. Automakers don't want you removing any of these. Why? Because the head unit is often tied to your vehicle's electrical brain. If you yank it out, you might lose these warning chimes, backup cameras, even your HVAC controls. It could break your CAN bus or the car's internal communication network. You'll also need an expensive integration module to keep all these things working. So if you like your touchscreen and already have a clean output, most luxury brands do, and you want to keep your stock aesthetics, then you might be better off keeping it and building around it. So the solution to something like this would be integration tools. There are smart ways to add amps, subs, and even DSPs without replacing your head units. You just need the right things. An example of this would be an LOC or a line output converter. It takes your speaker wire signal and converts it into an RCA level output. Passive ones work okay. Active ones like the Audio Control LC2i or the Wavelink series are often better. Look for features like signal summing and bass restoration. Point number 2 is DSPs and high-level outputs. Some DSPs like the JL Audio TWK, Helix, or Dayton units can directly accept speaker-level inputs. Many include auto equalizers and signal cleanup to remove factory sound processing. 3. Integration harnesses. From brands like iDataLink, Maestro, Pack Audio, and Metra, these will retain steering wheel controls, backup cameras, climate info, and more. Plug and play for many cars, especially if you decide to go aftermarket. Now let's look at the case for aftermarket head units. So why would you want to replace your stock head unit at all? Here's a couple of reasons for you. Low preamp voltage. Many stock head units only deliver 0.5 to 1 volt outputs. This requires a heavy amp gain, and this will mean more noise and more distortion. These head units often limit tuning options with few or no crossovers, equalizers, or time alignment. These often have built-in tuning, often bakes in a strange processing for the factory speakers. Stock head units offer poor expandability. No subwoofer control, no multi-amp setups, limited, and no RCA outputs. They can also be incompatible with aftermarket gear. They won't be able to meet up with DSPs, high-end amps, and thrive with a clean, strong signal. Many factory units choke your system before it even starts. The hybrid trap. Poor integration will kill great gear. A lot of beginners get caught in the middle. I want to keep my stock screen, but I want killer bass and aftermarket sound. But here's the truth behind it. If you don't integrate properly, you're going to choke your sound system at the source. Factory processing will include bass roll-offs at high volume, phasing issues between channels, and boosted frequencies that will cause distortion when amplified. Without a DSP or a smart LOC, you're just boosting factory garbage and wondering why your system sounds off. So what's the best move for you? The best option, you want to keep factory aesthetics, use a high-end LOC or DSP with OEM integration. You have a vehicle with deep integration, like a Tesla, BMW, Lexus, whatever. Then keep stock and build around it. If you drive an older vehicle or a base model, then you can replace your head unit with an even better 4 volt with 3 pre-out unit. You want full control, future upgrades, and clean output go aftermarket all day. So your head unit is either your system's biggest bottleneck or its strongest assets. Don't be afraid to keep your stock unit, but know how to work around it and its limitations. If your goal is clean, tunable, and expandable audio, sometimes the smartest move is just rip it out and go aftermarket. Jumping into segment five, we're going to go over budget versus premium head units. What are you actually paying for? So let's talk about some money. You've seen it, $79 decks with Bluetooth right next to an $800 touchscreen with 13-band equalizers and wireless CarPlay. So what's the difference? Why would someone pay 10 times the amount for something that still plays the music? Here in segment five, we're going to break it down and see the real differences between budget and premium head units, not just the price, but features, reliability, and sound quality. So what do you get with a budget head unit? This would be between the range of $75 and $200. These are just your basic receiver. Think Boss Audio, Dual, Planet Audio, Jensen, Lower End Pioneer, or JCV models. The pros about these is they're cheap and easy to install. The Bluetooth audio and hands-free calling. They will have your AM, FM radio, USB, or AUX outputs. And they're often mechless. This means no CD slot, fewer moving parts. The cons about these is they often have lower RCA preamp voltages, usually 2 volts or less, limited equalizers, 3 to 5 band at best, basic or no crossover controls at all, weak Bluetooth quality and compression, no time alignment or advanced tuning, and may not last more than a couple of years. These decks do the job in a basic setup. This would be for, you know, entry-level door speakers, small 4-channel amps, basic subwoofer with a built-in bass knob. But the bottom line here is a budget is fine. If you're just getting started and you don't need advanced tuning or expansion, but you will hit a ceiling eventually. So what do you get with a mid to high-end head unit? This is $200 to the $800 range. This is where real sound quality and controls start to kick in. Brands like Alpine, Kenwood, Sony Mobile ES, Pioneer, NEX series, JVC Arsenal, and a few high-end units from Jensen or Stinger, they will have the 4-volt or 5-volt RCA pre-outs. This is going to mean a much cleaner signal. 3 RCA outputs for the front, rear, and sub. You're going to have full system control. You'll have that 13-band plus parametric in some models. High-pass and low-pass filters, subwoofer control, time alignment for your soundstage, high-res Bluetooth codecs like LDAC or APTX in HD. You'll have wireless CarPlay and Android Auto, DSP integration, and in some cases, built-in mini DSPs. Some units also come with rear camera support, HDMI inputs for media, steering wheel control support out of the box, and touchscreen interfaces with customizable layouts. The drawbacks of these is they cost more upfront. You may require a dash kit or harness adapter or an integration model. This takes time and you need to learn to set it up correctly. The bottom line is, if you want a clean sound, a full system, and a future-proof platform for your amps, DSPs, multiple zones, you're going to want one of these. Beware of mid-priced flash. Somewhere between 200 and 300 units. Some units between $200 and $300 from unknown brands look premium with their big touchscreens, high-res stickers, RGB customization, and loud packaging. But under the hood, they have the weak signal outputs, no real tuning, short lifespans, glitchy software, and poor screen response or menu designs. The rule of thumb is, if you've never heard of the brand and you can't find anyone else using it in serious builds, proceed with caution. So where is the sweet spot? We've gone from $75 all the way up to $800 and more. So most people building their first real system, the best move is to land between the $300 and $500 range. This will get you most of what you need, is your high voltage outputs, 3 RCA pre-outs, solid equalizers and crossover tools, expandability, and a clean user-friendly interface. These features that matter without breaking the bank. This is my personal take on it. If I had to build on a tight budget, I'd rather buy a $350 head unit, a 254-channel amp, and $150 worth of decent speakers, rather than the other way around. Because sound quality starts at the source and your whole system is only as strong as its weakest link. The head unit isn't where you flex, it's where you build your foundation. So let's jump right into segment number six. Let's plan around your head unit, building out smart from the source. Now that you know how important it is to have a head unit, what it is, what it does, and what to look for, how much to spend, let's talk about the next layer that most beginners overlook. How does your head unit affect everything else in the build? Truth is, your choice of deck doesn't just impact your sound, it shapes your entire system strategy. So let's talk about how your head unit fits into amplifier's performance, DSP tuning compatibility, system expandability, installation planning, and future upgrades. First point on the list is your amp runs on what deck feeds it. This one's simple. If your head unit sends a clean and strong RCA signal, this is 4 volts plus, your amp will run cooler, cleaner, and louder. If your deck sends a weak or distorted signal, your amp will compensate by cranking up the gain. This is going to mean more noise, more distortion, and more clipping. But what does that mean for you? A better head unit is going to mean a better amp performance. So you don't need an $1,000 amp if your deck is $350, is going to give you a clean and usable signal. So if you want the amp to last longer, stay cooler, and deliver better sound, start at the source. Second point on this list is your DSP setups and your deck. If you plan on running a digital sound processor or a DSP for time alignment, equalization, and crossover staging, and you need to think upstream. The best case is your head unit will have three RCA outputs, 4V plus. It's going to send a clean front, rear, and sub signal to the DSP. The DSP is going to split and process from there. The mid-tier of this setup is your factory head unit. We'll have a LOC and a DSP with summing. It will add noise, complexity, and usually cost more overall. The worst case scenario is your head unit has no RC outputs or baked-in equalizers, and you're feeding processed garbage to your DSP and cannot undo it cleanly. So what's the lesson? If you're planning for a DSP, don't cheap out on your deck. You will either underfeed the DSP or make it work twice as hard and flatten your signal. Third point on this list is future-proofing your build. A lot of people build systems backwards. They throw in speakers and a sub, then try and make an $80 deck with stock stereos stretch a lot further than it should. Instead, start at the head unit. Ask, does it have enough outputs for my future amps? Will it support a DSP? Will it still work if I add a rear fill or active crossover later? Can it handle a second zone, aka a rear, sub, or trunk? Will I need to replace it when I upgrade my speakers? If the answer is no to any of those, you'll probably be ripping it out and upgrading it later anyways. Buy it once, cry never. Choose a head unit that can grow with you and your build. Fourth point on the list is installation. Planning made easier. A good head unit also makes an install cleaner. If you have your three RC outputs, there will be no Y splitters or signal tricks. Your subwoofer control will need no external bass knob. You'll have your built-in crossovers, which is less work for your amp tuning. Better time alignment, you'll find a better front stage without a DSP. And if you get a model with a clean UI or user interface, wireless CarPlay, and a usable screen, you'll be simplifying the driving experience and your signal path. Clean install, clean tuning, clean results. So when should your head unit be your first upgrade? Here's a guideline. If you have a full factory system, then your head unit should be first. If you have the factory speakers and a subwoofer, then go ahead and do your head unit. If you already have aftermarket speakers and a factory stereo, definitely do it. And if you're running a DSP, it's optional. But if you have a budget build with no tuning plan, then maybe not right away. You could do that down the line. But if you're serious about sound, especially anything with DSPs, subs, or multiple amps, the head unit isn't just a component. It's the foundation that everything else will build up on. So to put it simply, your head unit controls your signals. Your signal controls your amp. Your amp controls the power of your speakers, and your speakers will deliver your final result. So if the first link in the chain is weak, everything that follows will suffer. Plan smart, think ahead, and don't underestimate what a clean source does for your entire system. Let's jump right into segment number 7. Let's look at some real-world setups and some questions about this topic. All right, now we've covered all the basics about head units, what they do, features, budgets, premium, how they fit into your system. Now let's talk about some real-world examples and answer some common questions. Example setup number 1 is they have a factory head unit, but they also have a DSP and amplifiers. This is a common route if you want to keep your factory dash, but improve the controls and sound dramatically. Why it works. If you keep your factory features like steering controls, backup cameras, but add a DSP with high-level outputs to clean your signal and tailor your sound. A tip for this is to use a quality line output converter or an LOC or a DSP that accepts your speaker inputs levels and make sure that the DSP has adjustable crossovers, time alignment, parametric equalizers. Keep your amp gains as low as possible by cleaning the signal as much as possible. Example setup number 2 is budget aftermarket head unit with a basic amplifier and speakers. If you're just starting out or in a tight budget, this is a solid beginner build. $150 to $200 single din or double din deck with 2 to 3 RCA outputs, a clean 4-channel amp powering aftermarket door speakers, and a powered or passive subwoofer with basic level control. A pro tip is to choose a head unit with a decent preamp voltage, 4 volts is preferred or 5, and built-in crossovers to simplify tuning. Example setup number 3 is a premium double-din touchscreen, multi-zone DSPs, and a component system. For enthusiasts who want serious control and future expandability, a premium deck with wireless Apple CarPlay or Android Auto, 5-volt pre-outs and an advanced equalizer, a multi-zone DSP for fine-tuning each speaker and sub separately, multiple amplifiers powering component speakers and subs with timeline and phase control. Why does this work? Everything is designed to maximize sound quality and user control from the source to the speakers. So here's a couple questions that were commonly asked about head units. Can I use a cheap Bluetooth receiver instead of replacing my head unit? You can, but that's usually a band-aid solution. Cheap receivers often have a poor signal quality, add noise. Upgrading your head unit or using a quality LOC or DSP is a better path for sound improvement. Question 2, is it worth upgrading if I only have factory speakers? Absolutely. Even factory speakers can sound better with a cleaner and stronger signal with proper tuning. Plus, a good head unit sets you up very easily for future upgrades. Question 3, what if my car doesn't have space for a double DIN? A single DIN is still a great option, especially if paired with a good DSP or amp with crossover control. You can also check for dash kits that convert a single DIN to a double DIN for some vehicles. Additionally, there are single DINs that have something called a floating screen. Final thoughts. Your head unit is the starting point for a great sound. Whether you keep your factory stereo or go full aftermarket, understanding your sources, capabilities, and limitations will help you build smarter and sound better. Thanks for listening to episode 6 of the Aftermarket Audio Podcast. If you enjoyed this deep dive into head units, please follow the podcast, leave a review, share with your audio fam. Got any questions, system picks, install stories, hit me up on the socials at the AAP. And until next time, this is where stock ends and real sound begins.